Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this June 15th, 2023. Got your host, James J. here. Thanks so much for joining us. Right now, one of my favorite people to talk to in the whole world, Jackie Carantini with us, human development and relationships educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Jackie.
Hello.
Good to see you. How you been?
Thank you. Good.
Good, good. Jackie, there is a wide range of places we could start and we can get into today, but where do you want to start? What do you want to get into?
We've been talking a lot in the last couple of months about end-of-life planning. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because a lot of older adults, I'm currently doing a class at McMillan right now, and I have folks in their 90s, you know, and it's like, oh, I had a couple that he told me they've been married for 70 years. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think we think of that, right? Like, oh, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready. Mm-hmm. But in reality, most things, you really, as soon as you turn 18, you're considered an adult in the state of Wisconsin. And there's some things that you really do need to consider, especially when it comes to some medical pieces. So whether we're talking about power of attorney for healthcare, if you want anything, you know, as regards to a living will, if you were in a car accident tomorrow, would you want to be, you know, kept alive on a respirator? Would you want CPR? Do you want to be tube fed? If you're in a coma, you're not responding. Do you want your family, you know, to continue? These are conversations that, you know, it's not pleasant. It's not happy, but it's life. And it really could happen to anyone at any time. When it comes to the medical component of it, one of the things I always tell folks we have to remember is that Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this before. And lately, I've been getting a lot of response from medical providers. So let's say, what does that mean? Wisconsin is not a next of kin state means that according to the law, unless you have it in writing, so unless you have that living will, your power of attorney for healthcare, your forms filled out and filed, they do not automatically go to your family members or your loved ones to make decisions. It is the medical team. Now, most, if not all, of our medical systems in the state of Wisconsin have a personal policy within that system that they will converse with the family to see what the family's wishes are. But that is not required by law. So that's why when you go to every single time you go into Marshfield Clinic or Aspirus for an appointment and they say, have you filled out your living will? Do you have a power of attorney for healthcare? That is why, because they want you to be able to make your choices. So, you know, when it comes to any of this relating to end of life, again, there are many reasons we don't talk about it. No one wants to talk about, you know, the fact that I could be gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's anybody, right? Yeah. Like, that's anybody. Our family members don't want to talk about it. They want us to live forever. So I've heard from a lot of older adults like, well, I even bring it up. My kids are like, yeah, mom, stop talking about that. You know? Right. They don't, you know, that idea. It might bring up bad memories. It might bring up, you know, something when your grandma went into a nursing home or, you know, when you lost someone in your family very abruptly and you didn't have things planned. Mm-hmm. So it brings up emotions and it brings up all that kind of fun stuff. So there's many, many reasons that we don't do that. But the, you know, number one reason that you should is that, again, there are some laws in place that say, yes, you know, we have tools here in Wisconsin for you to designate where you want stuff to go, what you want to happen. So I'm not going to talk too much. That's enough about medical. But the idea is just really thinking about, I usually ask folks, you know, where are you at? Where are you starting?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what have you already done? Do you have a will? Do you have, you know, power of attorney for finance, power of attorney for healthcare? Have you already had, do you have stuff set up as, you know, payable on death or transfer on death? There's some really good tools here in the state of Wisconsin.
One of the earliest things, and I was just thinking in my head as we were talking, Jackie, we've been doing this a while together. I didn't realize that, but we've been talking for a while. And you were one of the first to really, really hit on mental health. And really bring that term up and bring it into especially on the magazine show here.
Yep.
When we talk about mental health, it bleeds into so many things. And one of the first things I'm thinking of with this is, I think we've done a great job as a society bringing the terminology of mental health and a lot of the factors of that to the fold. Now it's time to put things into action.
Right.
Like it's not enough to just talk it anymore. Now we got to walk the walk.
Right.
And part of your mental health is stressors. one of the biggest stressors we have is these things that we, I got to take care of that. I'll get to it. It'll be fine. I'll get to it. And then time runs out.
Yeah.
The sooner you take care of these things, the ease, the relief that happens to you. I bring this up only for an example, but my mom and dad are planners. They are planners. They like to work through things. They work ahead. It's part of the reason they work so well together as much as they're opposites. Yeah. They're both planners. But my mom gets close to retirement. My father already retiring before her. And I will never forget this. It happened like a year ago, but it feels like it was yesterday. She's got this blank look on her face, and she doesn't know what to do. Like, wait a minute, where do I begin? Like, right. I'm retired now. What is the? How do I collect Social Security? How do I do these things? And along the list of things that she had was, have I taken care of my will? Well, that was the one thing on her list she could check off.
Oh, nice.
And that relief, just in that little moment, that relief on her face, I will never forget. Yeah. Like it, and immediately she was able to go to the next task. We've all got things on our plate. And there is very few times where you get to that plate and like, huh, it's all empty. Like there's usually something on there.
It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. So the more you can take off that plate, the better your mental health is and the better the mental health of your loved ones can be, because this is another great reason to do these things.
Yeah. So that I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that's usually where we start with any of this. So again, yeah, there's so many different ways you can go on, you know, different components of end of life planning. But I usually ask folks, you know, where you're starting, what are your goals? What are your goals, yeah. Right? So yeah, so if it is to make things less stressful for my family once I'm gone, I've had many, you're right. We've been doing this a really, really long time, over 20 years. But I can recall, you know, many times over those years, I'll ask someone, you know, okay, have you started this process? And they're like, well, I'll be dead. I don't care. You know, I'm just going to leave it to my family. And it's like, okay, that is a way, that is a method, but then what does that mean? So there is a lot of research and statistics that talk about reasons that families don't communicate after someone is gone. Mm-hmm. And number one is up there is that idea of it wasn't planned out. Yeah. And so families, the way items are distributed, whether it's tangible or not tangible, and I'll talk about that in a second, what that means, you know, the feelings were hurt, things weren't fair, what's, you know, the definition of fair. Family members didn't say anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. They just did it and didn't have a conversation. So some people were in the loop and some people weren't in the loop. And they hang on to that because, as we all know, death is so personal and it just takes one tiny little thing that we grasp onto and then we can stick with that forever. So I usually ask folks, start off with, you know, what are your goals? So if your goals are, you know, preserving family memories, okay, that takes us down a path. Mm-hmm. You know, then we can start having conversations. We can start writing things down.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of a series we have called Planning Ahead. And one of the examples I keep giving the group is that I have this laundry basket. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but it looks could be something that came from Shopko, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I don't know. It's just about a 3 feet long, foot and a half wide laundry basket. It's just a wooden laundry basket. The only clue that you have that this is not from Shopko is the bottom of it is about just under 4 inches thick.
Okay.
Yeah, that piece of wood is like super, super thick. So then you realize, in reality, this laundry basket came from my grandmother, who lived to be 96, and it was from her grandmother, who also lived to be in her 90s. Mm-hmm. So if we try to date this thing, we're going back about 150 years.
Wow.
Okay. It's a laundry basket, right? Yeah, yeah. There really is not a lot of sentimental value to this, but this is one of those that, yeah, I want my kids to know, please don't send that to Goodwill. Please don't throw that. I don't care what you do with it. You can keep your, our whole lives, my kids' whole lives, we've kept our winter hats and gloves in it. And that, you know, comes out in the winter and the porch sits out. It's got hat and gloves in it. Yeah. And then, you know, summer it moves into the closet and it comes back out. I don't care what they do with it, but there is, you know, there is meaning behind it. Not necessarily, a lot of sentimental value, not necessarily monetary value, but there is meaning. So that's one of those things that, yep, I need other people to know, this is who it came from. This is how many generations this thing has been in existence. And this is the approximate age of it. I'm still gifting it to you. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
But I need you to know the meaning behind it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's that part of preserving memories, family items. That's that really important piece. So it's a part of it is verbally having conversations. The other part is to actually, you know, get it in writing. Mm-hmm. So when you give something to someone, you tell them the meaning that went with it. It might be improving family relationships. So if your goal is to, I want everybody to get along, then you're going to spend a little bit more time on what is fair and that definition of fair. And you're going to actually include more people in the process so everybody has a part in it and they know what's happening as we go along. It might be maintaining privacy. I may have told you this story before, but I was working with a family this past year. The woman had was had breast cancer, and so she had a fairly long journey, just under 10 years from the time she was diagnosed till she did pass away last summer. But I kept asking everybody, like the whole group, you know, have you done any of this? Have you talked about this? Do you know what her wishes are? And the answer was no. Like, no one wants to talk about it. They knew her death was inevitable toward the end. They knew it was coming, like right down to the days in, you know, in the hours. But no one wanted to talk about it. It was just where they were in their family. They didn't want to bring it up. Mm-hmm. And literally, true story, she's being loaded into the ambulance at the farm, carried away on her last day. Mm-hmm. She calls her daughter-in-law over, you know, goes, waves her down, you know, says, come here, puts her head right next to her face. And she said, it's all done. Mm-hmm. It's all done. It's in my sock drawer. And, you know, her daughter-in-law is bawling. And she's like, what? You know, she had no idea. Literally, the woman had every single thing planned out. She had right down to the flowers she wanted at the funeral. She had her pictures there. She had the music. She had everything paid for and taken care of. And but they didn't want to talk about it.
She
knew her family didn't want to talk about it. So she took care of it herself. So that maintaining privacy, and, you know, it was done. She took care of it. But she didn't want anyone else in her business. That's a method. That's a method, you know. So the important piece of this is there's no right or wrong to any of this.
Yeah.
There is no timeline on any of this. It really is for you. But the first part is figuring out, you know, kind of what are your goals and then how do you want to set yourself off on it, right?
You never, as my kids get older into their 20s and everything, I realize this more and more, and many of you out there will realize this, you never stop being a parent. Even in death, okay? Like, your job as a parent is never done. Even when you're gone, it's not done. You set these things up and you set your kids up to so they don't have to worry about these things. You brought up a couple of really great things. One, I love that story. That hit me. That was really good. Thank you for sharing that. But the division that this can cause in families. I mentioned last time we talked about this, some of that happened in my family. Well, right away I hear from listeners, boom, 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 my family. I'm starting to think that not a family out there isn't affected by this. Like, so what a great way to counter that, to get ahead of the game on that one. And you take care of these things. So there's no discourse. There's none of this stuff that can happen. You leave no quarter for any of this to happen with your family.
Exactly. Share as much as possible.
I'm sorry, Jackie, really quick. I wanted to mention this before, too. The time that this can take. I understand that it may not be the funnest amount of time. But you, again, coming back to parenting or just being a good to your loved ones or any of that, the time that you take to do this now saves time when you are gone from them having to do this and spending. Maybe they could spend a little bit more time healing and remembering you and honoring your legacy and that, not so much time on the will and who's going to get that knickknack or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. You know, listeners are right. It is the number one reason that families have issues is how things are distributed. So that takes us to the topic that I could talk on all of this forever. And there are so many components to this, but we do have a program coming up in July, and it's called Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate. It is a curriculum that's been around for a really long time. It comes out of Minnesota, and it is non-titled property transfer. Really complicated. What does that mean? Non-titled property transfer. You ready? Mm-hmm. It's the junk in your house. It's the junk in your house that doesn't go into your will. Right?
Yeah.
So, and that is the stuff that people fight over. That is what families have issues and concerns over. Yep, your will covers your house, it covers your car, it covers your hunting land or your boat, you know, all of that. That is taken care of. Most families have that taken care of in some way, shape, or form. There may or may not, if there's a monetary value to it, there's a connection. But most of the time, there's not as much of an emotional connection to that tangible property. Non-title property, the junk in your house, that's where the emotional connection comes to. That grandma's yellow pie plate, grandpa's guns, grandpa's guitar, right? Yeah. The stuff that memories are connected to. It doesn't necessarily have, it may or may not have a monetary value, but it is the stuff that I am emotionally connected to. So when I come to your house, I immediately go back to, you know, when I was 8 years old and we went fishing or we did this, or, you know, every time I walked in, grandma made cookies and the house smelled like cookies. I want that rusty old cookie sheet, right? Like, it's that kind of stuff. So this program that we have in July called Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate, we'll talk about methods for non-titled property transfer. So again, most folks, you know the big stuff. You've taken steps for your estate. You've taken steps for your will, that titled property, but the non-titled property, what are methods for doing that? And so we'll talk about what we just talked about today. You know, what are your goals? So first off, starting off, what are your goals? Second, you know, what is definition of fair for you? And that really, that's hard. That I could spend an entire hour and a half class on what is fair.
Just because, thinking about it right now.
It's hard. It's really, really hard. So, you know, it might be I've had family say, well, you know, everybody gets the same monetary amount, or the oldest starts and the oldest gets to pick something first and then it makes it weighs down. We put everything into an estate sale and then everybody gets so much money and they get to buy something back out because that's fair, right? There's no right or wrong answer here.
The oldest, I think you had it right in the beginning, Jackie. I think, yeah, the oldest should decide. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mess you up.
It gets complicated. Like, it gets super, and again, this is why families don't talk and they have issues. But so we will run through what are some of the methods for that non-titled property transfer. You know, there's some easy things as, you know, a method. One of the methods we recommend is gifting back before you pass away. You know, so if someone gave you something, I'm going to gift it back to you. And then I'm going to say, you know, and tell a story with it. Or again, that idea of gifting now. So if there are things that, you know, you hold a dear memory to. And so it could go that opposite way too. So not just the grandchild with the grandparent. It could be the grandparent saying, oh my gosh, I loved when you came over and we made cookies together. Or I taught you how to knit. I'd really like you to have blankety blank, blank, blank. So that's the important stuff. It's the stories. The stories are so good. And that's that important piece with it, right? So we'll talk, you know, so gifting back, telling stories, sharing, labeling things. But we'll go through all of these different methods in detail. Kind of pros and cons. Everybody gets this fantastic book that comes out of Minnesota that has all the worksheets in it. This is free of charge, so it's a good deal because you get this fantastic book. But it kind of goes through, again, there's no right or wrong here. So it gives suggestions on methods, and then it gives things to consider. So what might, you know, kind of pros or cons, what might happen, because it's different with every single family, with every single item. So I think the other thing to think about with any kind of end-of-life planning is the idea of, we call about the six Ds, when you should pull this stuff back out. So when you get a new diagnosis, when you hit a new decade, so if you have a big birthday, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, when you change domiciles, when you downsize houses or change and you move. Death, diagnosis, divorce, all of these fun Ds. But these are all things that change your perspective. So you might have filled this stuff out, you know, when you were in your 40s. Now you're in your 70s and you might be thinking about it from a whole different ball game. So again, it's good. This is not necessarily a one and done. It's a pull it back out and kind of look at it and then kind of think through. And maybe you tried it with a few things. So just one quick story before we end. In my family, my dad has always said guns was his thing, right? Like he's collected guns for many, many years. Most of us have no idea really how many they are. but since I was little, that he told us, and then when I had children, that, you know, in his will, everybody gets guns. That's just kind of, because in his head, and he's right, they don't necessarily lose monetary value.
True.
And so that was kind of his investment, his thing was guns, and whether little kids want guns or not, let's not talk about the value of that. But that was in his head.
Smart move.
Thing,
it's, right? Yeah, it's a caring, smart move.
So youngest grandchild, not getting into the greats, just youngest grandchild, is now 14. And we traveled. I took my dad to North Carolina for a family event. We drove, and so we get there, and I didn't even know, as we're pulling our bags out, there's all these boxes in the back. I'm like, what is that? You know? Guns. It's guns. He's going to gift guns to this youngest person because he asked about them, and he went through hunter safety, and he wanted to do this. Okay. I'm like, well, that's great. That's a really good idea. Like, because you're doing it now while you're still alive, and then you can talk about this with him and give him some tips and, you know, open it up and give lessons, and this is really good. That's not what happened, James. Then all the other grandchildren came over who are now in their 20s. One of them just got married. That's why we were there. Another one in college, whatever. You got a gun? Where's my gun? Yeah, oh, my gosh. They immediately got their phones out. They were Googling this to find the value. They were very valuable guns. My dad didn't even know the value of these guns. They were worth thousands of dollars. So now he just gave thousands of dollars worth to a 14-year-old. And so then the other kids, and I was like, oh, holy smokes. You know, and he kind of sat back and he was like, well, I really thought I was just doing a nice thing.
He's just,
But great example of holy smokes, this hornet's nest. And so it was good for us to then talk about, okay, let's talk this through, right? You have enough guns for everybody to have many, many guns, right? Right. So that was the first inkling that we were told really how many guns there are, right?
Yeah.
So when we go back to what is your goal, and if your goal is to be fair, yeah, we can do that. And my dad had not thought about the monetary value because that was never in his thing. Kids, they were thinking that. They were looking that up. They were Googling that. They were thinking about that. So I was like, okay, let's go back to the drawing board here. Like, okay, everybody's still getting guns, but if this now, we want this to be fair, and we want it to be fair monetarily, okay, let's go back. Let's start doing, you know, you pull out your inventory. Let's look at what they're worth so we have an idea, and then you can distribute accordingly. So my point in this story is it's not a one and done. That might change. He's had this in his will since those kids were born, right? So this has been that way for, you know, 20, 30 years. He's had this plan. Plan changes, right?
Yeah.
So still going to distribute the guns, but how we do it, why we do it, goals behind it, definition of fair changed, right? Because now that monetary value came into fair. That wasn't a part of his definition of fair before. Fair before was, I'm just going to give everybody a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's changed a little bit. So again, no right or wrong on any of this, but just, so we'll discuss ways to kind of go through that. So just real quick, it is Tuesday, July 11th at McMillan. It is free. It's called Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate. We'll do an hour and a half, 6 to 7:30. If you want to register, you want more information, you can contact the extension office. Our number is 715-421-8437. So I'll say that one more time. 715-421-8437. And it is Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate.
Jackie, one of the things that you touched on there with that beautiful story. By the way, I didn't know how great of a storyteller you are. Like, you really are good. You had me right there with you on that. I appreciate you sharing that in part because it is a beautiful story. And I was brought there with that moment and being in that grandson's shoes and how great that's got to feel. And then I started thinking about how for your dad, like, when we talk about giving these items, usually the person has passed. Here's an opportunity for a person to experience that and see given the item. That's really cool for that person. But I wouldn't have thought about all the hornet's nest that came after that. So great story for a lot of reasons. And another good reason, maybe if you do plan this out right and you do cross your T's and dot your I's and all that, that maybe it is a good idea to give items away while you're still alive. I don't think that it has to be a awkward situation if it's thought through. It's not to say that he didn't or anything. It's just more of an example of even when you do think things through, there's always that gray area that you don't think of.
Exactly. You know, you don't know what you don't know.
And again,
I think that's why we always start off with, again, it sounds silly, but what is your definition of fair and what do you want to accomplish in the process? And if you make that everybody aware of that, mm-hmm. and you make that known from the beginning, then it softens the blow in the end, right? Yeah. So even if this would have happened after my dad passed away, but he had shared, you know, in his will, you know, my goal is that everyone gets a gun. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, I evenly want to distribute, mm-hmm. everybody gets a gun. Then they know, well, you know what? Yeah, he wasn't looking at it. So in this case of the two guns he took, he had won them. He literally had never even opened the boxes. He knew what type of gun it was, but he didn't know the value. Yeah. So he couldn't have even anticipated that, yeah. because he literally had never even opened these boxes. Mm-hmm. So he just went, oh, new gun. This looks great. He pulled it out and you know, threw it in the truck and off we went. So again, I think that's the important part of when we start this process. Yes, it's junk in your house, and you kids and grandkids and neighbors might go, oh my gosh, you're a hoarder, you have junk in your house. Okay, but what are your goals? What methods do you want to do? And what is, you know, your purpose of doing this? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might gift everybody a item and have a story to go with a item, and the rest of it goes to Goodwill. Like, there's so many ways we can go about this. But starting off with, what is my purpose? What is my definition of, you know, fair? And what do I want to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And again, making sure others know that. And it doesn't mean you have to. So if you know that everybody's going to fight like cats and dogs, it might be the first story that I said where the woman said, you know what? I have it all done.
Yeah.
And it's here. It's in my sock drawer. Mm-hmm. You know, time comes, go get it. It's all lined up. Mm-hmm. She knew her family didn't want to talk about it, whether they were going to argue or not. That's not the point. It was that, yep, she anticipated that. Yeah. She knew they wouldn't want to talk, but she had it all lined out and ready to go. And she did have stories, and she had different things that went with stuff. So it was done very well. So there's no right or wrong here. I think that's the important piece for everybody to know. There's no right or wrong. There's no timeline on any of this.
Yeah.
That's usually what I get from folks, like, oh, it's been, you know, 4 years. I'm still sorting through my husband's stuff. That's great. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're working through it on your own pace, give yourself that grace. You mentioned mental health before. Give yourself that grace to be able to process it and go through this and know that you're not going to be able to do it in a night. Like, that's just not realistic.
Jackie, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you so darn much. If people have follow-up questions or want to know more about some of what we talked about, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so contact the Extension Office again, Wood County Extension, 715-421-8437. And again, our program is Who Gets Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate?
Looking forward to it. And we'll be promoting that program coming up here and everything. Thanks for the time, Jackie. Thanks. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow right here at WFHR.